mercy of God. I don't know about you, I want his mercy, not his justice. Amen? We deserve his justice. We deserve his punishment. But thank God for his wonderful mercy he gives to us every day. Kind of reminds me of that passage over in Ephesians chapter 2 when the Apostle Paul is reminding them of what our life used to be before Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We walked according to the course of this world. We were dominated by Satan. And he, the god of this world, that had blinded our eyes, according to the book of Corinthians, lest the light of the glorious gospel should show forth. But I love Ephesians 2, where it says, But God, who was rich in his mercy towards us, because of that love, and didn't you know this part? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then it says, for we are his workmanship, created unto good works. God has a purpose for your life, by the way. And that's what we were talking about. December the 31st, I began talking about a man named Elijah. That was what we call Ice Sunday. You remember that? All the ice came in, and I know it was hard for people to get out. We had a lot of people missing, and I understand that. If you're not able to get out, we do not want you to hurt yourself coming to church, especially our senior adults. You don't need to get out on the ice, and that's very important. But I want you to know that I told the group there that Sunday morning, I said, hey, I'm going to come back and preach the rest of this message on Elijah because it's so important. And by the way, inside your bulletin, there's an outline. If you'd like an outline, inside your bulletin, there is an outline this morning that might help you out. But we're talking about getting in on God's plan and going on to greater things. Now, I want you to know the greatest plan that God has for you is that you would come to a knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ, that you would be born again, that you would be saved. That is God's greatest plan for us. But by the way, he didn't save you that you might just sit on the pew and do nothing. He didn't just save you that you might remain the same. He didn't save you that you would remain the same spiritually. You would when you got saved, you were here spiritually, and you didn't ever get off the starting blocks. You just stayed right there. No, the Bible says in Hebrews 12 that we're running the race. It is a marathon. We're running with patience the race that is set before us, and we're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. We're reaching towards the goal. Remember, I mentioned that the Apostle Paul, excuse me, I apologize, I had treatment this week, and my mouth is really dry after I have treatment. You say, boy, I'm glad you slowed down a little bit, huh? Trying to follow you. But you know what? The Apostle Paul helped us understand. He said in Philippians 3, he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things are before. Ephesians 3, 13 and 14, he says, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I was reading a book this last week, and boy, it gave me a great insight. The author of that book wrote this, catch this. He said, there's a reason that your car has a small rearview mirror and has a large windshield. Amen? Are you following me here today? Why is that so? You're not supposed to spend all your time looking in that rearview mirror, are you? You're going to hit the car in front of you. You're going to wreck your life. Oh, is that necessary? We can learn from our past. We can learn from things in the past, but we're not to live in the past. We're to live in this bright future that God has for us. with that large windshield. He's showing us his purposes and plans. And that's exactly what he was doing with Elijah. Elijah, that mighty man of God. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go to 1 Kings 17. By the way, you know what? A lot of times we don't spend too much time in the Old Testament, but there's some great principles in the Old Testament. My Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, it says, for all scripture is inspired by God. There's God has inspired all scripture. Not part of it, all of it is. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. God has his word. This is his love letter to us, folks. And this is the word of God, the inerrant, infallible word of God. It is what God gave to us that he might reveal himself to us and his plans and purposes for us. So, by the way, if you spend all your time in the New Testament, never learn from the Old Testament, you're not getting all the counsel of God. Spend time in that Old Testament. Elijah, let's look at him. When he's introduced, it's interesting, he's called Elijah the Tishbe. You know, it's kind of interesting that it's by the region he was a part of, okay? That's Elijah, that's how he's introduced in chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbe, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. There shall be not dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. In other words, he says, hey, let me tell you something, Ahab, King Ahab, terrible man. He goes up to him and says, it's not going to rain. And by the way, that took a lot of courage to do that. He could have been killed on the spot. But he says, there's going to be no rain except by my word. And you and I know, according to scripture, that it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Okay? And then he spoke and it rained. But Elijah, this man of God, let me tell you something about him. He's mentioned more times in the New Testament than any other prophet. He's mentioned in Matthew 17 at the Mount of Transfiguration. There were Elijah and Moses and the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. They said, let's just stay up here on the mount where Jesus was transfigured. And say, he said, no, we can't stay on the mount. We got to go in the valley where the people are. He's mentioned over in Luke chapter 4. He's mentioned in Luke chapter 9. He's mentioned in James. You know what it says in James? He was made of the same stuff as you and I, but he prayed. He was a prayer warrior. And when he prayed, the Bible, God answered prayer. And let me tell you what the Bible says in James. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Listen to me today. I want you to hear this. Don't ever, ever, ever give up on your prayer. You say, well, I've been praying for something for a while now, Brother Jerry, and God hadn't answered the way I wanted him to answer it. By the way, let me tell you what. God's plans are not our, his plans are not our plans. His ways are not our ways. His ways are past finding out. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're praying according to the will of God, just hang on to it. God never hurries, but he's never late. Trust him. He will come at the right time. But here we find Elijah. He's out here telling the king, hey, there's not going to be any rain. And all of a sudden, what is God going to do for him? Well, he had a purpose. See, I want us, as we enter this new year, we need to go back to the beginning, folks. We need to understand that we belong to Jesus, not ourselves. Let me tell you what, that goes against everything we're taught in the world we live in. The world we live in says, you look out for yourself, you're number one. If you don't look out for yourself, no one will, and you get to climb your way all the way to the top, and that's not God's plan. Let me tell you what, Success is finding the will of God for your life and doing it. Finding the will of God for your life and doing it. And that's what Elijah was going to find out about. God was going to have him go somewhere that he might speak to him his plans and purposes. You know what the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. By the way, all the things he's talking earlier about how we don't need to be concerned about what we're going to wear. We don't need to be concerned about what we're going to eat. We don't need to be concerned about housing. God's going to take care of us. If he can take care of the birds of the field, he can take care of us. Amen? Do you realize today, folks, I want to let you in on something. Every time a bird hits the ground and dies, God knows about it. Listen to me. He knows your DNA. He knows what's going in your thoughts right now. He knows exactly what you're going through today. He knows those that are struggling with this new year and saying, listen, this last year, it was bad for me this last year. I had a lot of health issues. I had a lot of problems in my life. Our marriage wasn't as great as it should be. Finances weren't what they should be. I struggled this last year. But I want to tell you what, God has a plan for you in 2018 that'll blow you away. But I want to tell you, you got to get in on God's plan, not your plan. You got to find his purposes and plans for you. You got to get in on God's plan, and you got to go on to greater things. How does that take place? First of all, if you see on the outline, you got to understand God's recognized plan. God's recognized plan. In verses 1 through 3 in chapter 17, we know that he gives this word to Ahab, and then notice verse 2. Don't miss it. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Brother Justin preached last Sunday. From my understanding, unless he changed his mind since we talked, he was going to preach on listening to the voice of God. Amen? That's a great message, because he preached from 1 Kings chapter 19. You remember Elijah ends up under a juniper tree all depressed saying, take my life. And God sent an earthquake and sent a fire, and he sent a wind that rent the rocks, but he wasn't in that, but he was in the still, small voice. I'm going to tell you something. If someone talks very softly, you got to be very attentive, don't you? And that's how God speaks to us. He always is speaking if we're willing to listen to what he says. God had a plan, a recognized plan. See, God does lead his dear children along. Some through the flood, some through the fire. Some through night seasons, but all the day long. God's perfect plan for us is that we would present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. We would be transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is Romans 12, 1 and 2. That we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We must listen to God's voice, folks. And he is speaking. The word of the Lord came and told him. Look at verse 3. What did he tell him? He said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that it is before Jordan. Now, follow me here. I want you to hear this today. He wasn't telling him to go over there. The word hide there in the Hebrew isn't, well, go over there and hide behind this rock over here because Ahab's going to come get you. Go over here and hide yourself from those people because you've pronounced and it hadn't rained, and they're looking for the guy that said it isn't going to rain. They're looking for that guy. No, it isn't that word. That word was not for protection. It was a word, the word hide there means take time to reflect and to retreat. Listen to me. We got to take time to reflect and retreat. If we're going to understand God's perfect plan, if we're going to understand his recognized plan, we got to go where God tells us to go. We got to retreat, and we got to listen to the voice of God, and we got to listen very carefully. You know, throughout the scripture, God had people that he spoke to, but they had to be willing to listen. They had their brook Cherith. They had their brook Cherith. They had it. Think about Joseph. Man, you know, every time I read the book of Genesis and I read about Joseph, I read about, man, that guy, he could have been so bitter. You know, and I run in today as a pastor, I run into a lot of people that are bitter because life has dealt them a hand they don't like. and they don't like the way things are going in their life, and people have done them wrong, and they're out, they're always looking to blame someone else. They're always looking to get involved in all that blame game. But what they need to do, we need to look inward, folks. We need to take time to reflect. And Joseph, thank God, he took time to reflect. Even though his brother sold him into slavery, he ends up over at Potiphar's house. And he's there, and he goes up into the kingdom there. But guess what? Potiphar's wife says, hey, I want to sleep with you. Not only did she do it once, she did it twice. The second time, he had to leave part of his clothes behind. And then Potiphar's wife said, hey, he tried to make a pass at me, and guess what? He ends up in the prison. That God did what was right, folks, in the sight of God, but yet he ended up in prison. He gets over there, and there's a baker and a butler. You know this story, don't you? You haven't read it? Go back and read it this week. Genesis chapter 37 and following, okay? Read about this story. Because he ends up over there, and he interprets dreams, as you know. And he interprets a dream for the butler and the baker, and he says, hey, remember me. One of them, the dream wasn't very good because he was going to die, right? You remember that? You're going to die. But the other, he says, remember me when you go back into the palace. And he got back to the palace, and guess what? He didn't remember him. You say, man, that's pretty bad, Brother Jerry. Well, let me tell you what. The plans of God don't always take the turns we expect sometimes. Sometimes the plans of God are curved here and there. Sometimes that we go through the valley. Sometimes we go up on the mountaintop. Sometimes we get in the middle of the brush, and there's all sorts of things in our life that's going on. We're trying to figure them out. But I want you to know God has a plan even in the midst of the bush. He has a plan even there. And God had a plan for him, and he was going to speak to him. God raised him up, because we know that there was a dream that took place and needed to be interpreted. Who was going to interpret the dream? Joseph. And he interpreted the dream that there was going to be a time of great, great things, that the harvest was going to come, and then there was going to be 7 years of plenty, and then there was going to be 7 years of famine. And guess what? He went back and he prepared the people for that. And his very own brothers, catch this, his very own brothers that had done him wrong come there to Egypt to ask for food from Joseph. Whoa. Now, how would you have handled that? Some of us would have said, hey, let me tell you something. Just turn back around, go back where you came from. You remember, I'm the guy that you sold into slavery. He didn't say that. Read it. Genesis 50:20. Mark it down and read it this week. He said to his brothers, you meant it for my bad, but God meant it for my good, that much people would be saved. God has a recognized plan. And let me tell you what, just like he did with Joseph, he has a plan with Moses. Moses had to be on the backside of a mountain for 40 years before he was raised up to emancipate the people out of the bondage. Joseph spent 40 years in the wilderness before God raised him up to lead the children of Israel out to the promised land. We find that Jesus himself was 30 years in that carpenter shop until God raised him up in a 3.5-year ministry. That was a wonderful ministry. God does have a plan. And listen to me, don't give up on that plan. Trust God. Look at what I say there. Hear the word of God. God will speak, but you gotta hear the word of God. You gotta hide yourself in him. And then you got to listen to his voice. When's the last time you heard the voice of God? See, at the brook Cherith, God sent him there. Why'd God send him there? Well, God sent him there because he knew that brook was going to have water, and there was fixing to be a drought. He sent him there because it was there that God was going to send ravens to feed him. Can you imagine that? Secondly, I want you to see this morning, not only does God have a recognized plan, he has a restricted promise. Look at verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee where? There. There. Now, here's what I'm convinced. Don't miss this. I'm convinced if he would have went anywhere else, he wouldn't have been taken care of. Amen? And see, the problem with some of us, we're at the wrong place. God's told us to go there, and we haven't gone there yet. God says, I have a plan for you, and we're not seeking that plan yet. We're not listening to the voice of God. And until we do, we'll never, ever find God's will, and we'll never have the year that God wants us to have this year. Follow me here. God has a restricted promise. This promise was restricted only there. It was conditional. Only there will you drink of the brook Cherith, and only there will the ravens feed you. Boy, he could have thought this out, humanly speaking. Think about it just a minute. Elijah could have said, well, why don't I go back to Gilead? I'm used to the land over there, the layout, and you know, I think I can make it over there on my own. You say, well, that isn't where he's supposed to be. Let me tell you something. That's what some of us do, exactly what we do. We say, you know what? God has showed me his plan, but you know what? I think I'm going to go out and do my own thing. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to do what I want to do. And listen to me, folks. Many people in the church, year after year, miss out on God's very best because that's exactly what they do. They seek their plans and purposes instead of God's plans and purposes. If he had not gone there, he would have starved and he would have missed God. Listen to me. Let me ask you a question. Are you where God wants you to be? Maybe we ask the question, am I doing what God wants me to do? Are we in the center of God's will? Could it be that we're not having victory and peace and joy and fruit and grace and love and comfort and repentance and reconciliation because we're seeking the wrong place? We're going where we want to go instead of where God wants us to go. The keys to success is, as I mentioned, finding, it's there for you, finding God's will and doing it. You say, how do I know what God's will is? Well, let me tell you what. Let me tell you how he reveals that. He reveals it right here in his word. There's no shortcut, okay? There's no shortcut. I'm not here today to say, hey, I've got a book I want to sell you, because I'm not selling books today. This is the only book you need, okay? And if you take this book right here and you say, God, I want you to reveal your purposes and plans for me, and you start reading it, God's going to reveal to you exactly what he wants for you. He's going to show you where you need to be and what you need to be doing, and he's going to reveal his will. Some of you today, God is going to speak to some fathers here today and say, fathers, it's time for us to wake up, fathers, and be men of God. It's time for us to be the head of our homes, to lead our family in spiritual things, to grow our children up in the ways of God, to help our wife and to encourage her and help her as we walk together in this way. That's God's plan and that's his will. God's plan is that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. As we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we will have thankful hearts. We will have hearts that are seeking after God. We will be singing and making melody in our heart to God. God's plan is that we would seek him with our whole heart. He says, if you will seek me, I will be found. Finding God's plan. Thirdly, quickly, not only do we have God's recognized plan and God's restricted plan, we have God's required prerequisite. You say, well, what would that be? Well, it's in one word, obedience. Now, here's our problem. We think obedience is for dogs and children. I thought that's funny myself. How many of you would love a disobedient dog? Well, I've seen a few of them. My mom used to have, she had one of those, what was it, a Jack Russell. That poor dog, I wanted to kill it. That dog would get a ball. I'd be sitting in a chair trying to visit my mom and just having a good visit with her, and that dog would get a ball, and he'd come up there, and he'd keep punching me with that ball, and I could throw it over here. He'd go get it. It was a she. Now, no personal effect there. Boy, I'm going to get in trouble here for too long. But she would just come, keep coming back. And I mean, that dog, and finally my mom got one of those collars, you know, where you, they're not obedient, and you do the dink, and they go, ooh. Best thing she ever bought. I just sat there and did it 5 times in a row. No, I didn't. I didn't do that. Some of you are going to be calling that dog protective service here in a little bit. I thought I'd get something to wake y'all up this morning. I think I finally did it. But we don't like disobedient dogs. We don't like disobedient children. How many of you tried to help a mom or dad at Walmart before? Or wanted to help them? You know what I mean? Say, hey, let me show you how this works. Let me have little Jimmy or little Mary, and I think I can take care of them for you. But let me tell you something. Many of us don't understand that obedience is God's plan for our life. God wants us to be obedient. He wants us to follow. It's a major prerequisite to following God's plans and purposes for us. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions this morning. I want you to listen very carefully. I'm asking me these same questions. Are we living in obedience? Are you living in obedience when it comes to trusting in God? The Bible says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Are you living in obedience? Are you trusting God for every situation in your life? Or do you spend all your time worrying about things? By the way, trust and worry cannot live in the same house or the same mind. Some of us, we spend our whole day, we get up in the morning and we start worrying about things and we just do it all day long. We're not being obedient. God says we're to trust him. Are you obedient when it comes to walking by faith in the Spirit? Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you walk in faith? Do you walk in faith in your everyday life? Do you put your trust in God and say, God, I'm trusting in you, and if you don't come through, I'm toast. Burnt toast. I'm finished without you, God. Are you obedient in the area of faith? Are you obedient in the giving of your tithes and offerings to God? Are you saying, well, God understands, Brother Jerry. You know, we're going through some things. Well, my Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, it says, will a man rob God? You say, hold it. Now I'm not a robber. Well, the Bible says if we take what belongs to God and we use it for ourselves, we're robbing God. But also, I don't want to be just negative there. There's a positive side of that. He says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Thus with saith the Lord, the storehouse is the church. And he says, see, prove me, says the Lord. He says, test me. And by the way, what is he asking of us? Not 100%. He's asking for us 10%. of our total income. If we give that to God, let me tell you what, God's going to make that 90% go even farther. He will honor that, folks. Let me tell you, he always has. He always will. But listen to me. I want you to hear this. He says, prove me, says the Lord, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven, and I will pour out a blessing to you more than you could take in. Now, there's some preachers that'll get up. Excuse me. There's some preachers that'll get up and say, hey, today I want you to sow $1,000 into the plate. And if you ever come to Lane Prairie Baptist Church very much, the church members will tell you here that I don't talk about giving hardly at all. Because I believe God will provide. And he always has. Do you realize last month in this little church here, I want you to hear this, in this church here, members of this church gave $55,000 to the tithes. Plus, we gave another $10,000, right at $10,000 to Lottie Moon. Plus, we gave another almost $2,000 to the building program. Plus, we gave even, there was other gifts that were given, different gifts. I want to tell you what, this is a giving church. I commend you for that. God has been good, but I want you to know, don't miss out on God's plan when it comes to obedience. If you will obey him in this area, it didn't mean that God's going to bless you financially. He's going to give you that which you have need of. That's what's in kind that God has for you. Are you being obedient in the disciplines of the Christian life? And by the way, this is the book that we're challenging everybody to go through in our church. Been doing that now for a little about a year and a half now. It's called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. And in this book, it tells you how you can be a growing Christian. It tells you how you can read the Word of God. Let me ask you, are you obedient in reading God's Word each day? And by the way, it doesn't matter how much of the word you read. What matters is, if the part of the word you're reading, are you taking it in and meditating on it and praying through it? Okay? Everybody needs to have their own plan. But God has a plan there. Are we being obedient in that area? Are we being obedient when it comes to prayer? Do we talk about prayer more than we do prayer? In Matthew 21, the Lord says, my house shall be called the house of prayer, verse 13. And then he says, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Matthew 21, 22. I'm going to tell you something. I've really taken to heart that verse this year. There's been some situations. I can't tell you all the answers yet. I eventually will. But I'm going to tell you what, I've seen some answers to prayer that'll blow you away. I mean, this guy right back here had brain surgery last Monday, folks. And when our staff went over to see him Wednesday, guess what? They were checking him out of the hospital. Follow me here. That doesn't happen very much, does it, doctor? When they take a part of your skull out and you have stitches from here to here and you have that on Monday, it's about a 5 or 6 hour surgery. And on Wednesday at about lunchtime, you're going home. We prayed about that, didn't we, Brother David? God answered our prayer. We prayed about others all throughout this auditorium. You prayed for your pastor. 8 years ago, I was going through chemotherapy with a disease of mantle cell lymphoma, one of the rarest of all lymphomas. The chances were slim, but I want to tell you what, it doesn't matter what your chances are. What matters is, where does God fit into the equation? This church prayed for me. I had little kids, 3 and 4 years old, that were praying for me in our Awana Club. I had the Methodist Church in Cleburne's ladies class sent me a card saying, we're praying for you, Brother Jerry. I didn't even know who the ladies were there, but thank God. I had an Assembly of God pastor's wife over here. She gave me a prayer cloth to put in my Bible, and I'm going to tell you where I put it. I put it right in my Bible. I'm going to take any and all prayers I can receive. Thank God for that. Amen. But I want you to know, are you missing out on this area of your life? God wants you to be obedient in the area of prayer. God wants to do great and mighty things. Listen to what the scripture says. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Are you being obedient in the area of service? This chapter in here on service. Are we being servants in the church? Are we being complainers? Oh, yeah, you'll always have complainers in every church. They don't like the way the pastor looks or the way he preaches, or they don't like the way we do this or do this. And they sit there with their arms folded, and they spend all their time in the critical spirit. I want you to know that's on them, not on us. We're going to keep going forward, church. Listen to me. If I would have stopped, I've been in the ministry for 46 years now. If I was stopped as a young pastor, 19 years old, listening to critical people, I would have quit the ministry a long time ago. Thank God we don't need to listen to those. We need to listen to God because he will help us. Are we being obedient when it comes to fasting? How about worship? How about commitment to this church? You say, oh, well, that's for somebody else, Brother Jerry. No, it's for you. If you're a member, you ought to not forsake the assembling of yourself together. Hebrews 10:25. You need to be here every time the doors are open if you're providentially able to. But we make excuses. Well, you know, I've got this. I'm going to tell you what. God wants us to be together, and that's what he's called us to do. We need to be obedient, and when we're obedient, God will bless us. Listen to me. We see here there's no defiant. He goes to the brook Cherith. There is no delay. There's no tomorrow. He's going to say, hey, listen, I will do what God says. No postponement, no unbelief. God is still speaking. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God spoke to him, and he obeyed that voice. He was obedient. Fourthly, quickly, God's release provision. Oh, I tell you what, I want you to take this. I don't have time, but I'm going to give you a few real quick. Listen to me. I wish some Sundays the pastor could say, we're going into overtime. We'd have a sign up there saying, OT, OT, OT. Some of you, I know you'd be blessed by that. But listen to me. Think about God's release provision. God sent ravens, birds. By the way, let me tell you, the ravens he sent, they were unclean. Hello? But God sent them, and they fed him. He had the brook. God sent the brook. He had a widow. Read it in the scripture there, verses 9 through 16, on down in there. There was a widow that she just had a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. She is fixing to make a cake for her and her son, and they were going to die because of the famine. Because guess what happened? The brook dried up. You say, whoa, hold it. I'm not following you here, Brother Jerry. He went to the brook and the brook dried up. Yes, it did dry up. Because why? Because God was saying to him, are you going to trust the brook or are you going to trust me, Elijah? And God is saying to us today, are you going to trust God or are you going to trust what provision you have? As long as everything's going good, you're happy. But when things get rough, you're not happy. As long as you have every provision, you're just joyous. But if you don't, you're miserable and you're complaining. I want you to listen today. You got to listen. God will provide for you. This lady's son died. And guess what? Elijah took him in the room, laid down on him three times, and God brought life back to him again. Boy, I was more excited about that than y'all were. That's not just an everyday thing, by the way. I'm sure in your neighborhood this last week, someone was brought to life back again. Someone just went and laid their hand on them, They're brought back to life again. That's what some of y'all are acting like. Oh, that's just an everyday occurrence, Brother Jerry. That's a miracle from God. God's released provision. By the way, in the next chapter, he has a contest against 450 prophets of Baal. Who is going to answer? Which God was going to answer by fire? You remember what happened? They had cried all day. They were cutting themselves. They were all bloody. They were cutting themselves with knives, calling on their gods. And Elijah's having a little fun with them. He's saying, well, maybe your God has taken a trip to the bathroom. Hey, you can read it in the Hebrew there. Or maybe your God has gone on a journey somewhere. Or maybe your God is doing something else. And finally, at the time of the evening sacrifice, he rebuilt the altar because they had broken it all down. He rebuilt the altar that was broken down. It was, and he made it with 12 stones according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he built that altar. And the Bible says they put 12 barrels of water on it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're going to call fire from heaven with 12 barrels of water on the wood? Now, I'm not a Boy Scout. I wasn't a Boy Scout, but that's not going to work. Oh, it will with God when God's in something. And I want to tell you what. He prayed a 63-word prayer. And basically in the prayer says, you're the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob, and I've done all these things that you've told me to do, and I'm asking you now to show all of these people that you're God. I pray you would send down fire from heaven. And zoom. The fire came down from heaven. It consumed the sacrifice. It licked up the 12 barrels of water. And everybody got on their face and said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Listen to me. God's not through yet. The God that sent down fire from heaven wants to send down fire today. But we got to be obedient, church. We got to be where God wants us to be. We got to do what God wants us to do. And until that happens, we're not going to see the fire. God's not going to send the fire to a church that's always bickering and complaining, talking about people in the back rooms. Listen to me. God's going to send the fire to church that's obedient and says, God, whatever you want to do, we want you. And by the way, let me tell you what. God's done that at Lane Prairie. I commend you, church, because we've seen some great things happen. Amen? Do you realize that we have every building paid off in this place except the far building, the children's building, and all we own it is $47,000, and we'll be debt-free. Why? Because people have been faithful, obedient in their tithes and offerings, in their giving to the building program, which is an offering above a tithe. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe God has some more things because we've done missions. We're going to send a team to Africa this summer. We're going to do what God calls us to do. We started good news clubs in the schools. This last year we saw over 30 children saved. Yes, you've got a hand. But see, lastly, I want you to see God, not only is his release provision, but his revealed purpose. He let the brook dry up so that he would trust him. And listen to me today. I want you to hear this morning. I know there's some of us that are sitting beside some dried up brooks right now. And we're asking ourselves the question, where is God in all of this? Well, I'm going to tell you where he is. He's at the same place he was when his son died at Calvary. He's on the throne. And he hadn't vacated the throne yet. He's still in control. And he wants to be in control of your life and my life. For some, this year, are we going to just stay where we are? Where we were last year, we're going to say, hey, I'm just satisfied. I just want to live in mediocrity. there's not one of us would say about our own life, well, you know what, I just want to stay the same. I only live in mediocrity. I don't want anything to happen in my life. I don't want anything to change. No, if we were honest, we'd say, no, there's something missing. There's something more that God has for me in 2018. And he will, if you will go where he wants you to go, if you will listen to his voice, if you will trust God and be obedient. Listen to me, obedient to God. I want to challenge every member to say, hey, I want one of these books. I want to learn how it is to grow in the grace of God. I want to be what God wants me to be. I don't want to be a mediocre Christian. I told the group Wednesday night, and I know I'm over time right here, but listen to me. I told the group Wednesday night. I said, you know what? We were talking about Colossians, and there was heresy in the church. Excuse me. There was heresy in the church. And the heresy in the church at Colossae is they were challenging the deity of Christ. They did not believe he was truly God. And that's when Colossians tells us that he is the one who spoke the world into being. He is the created one. He is the one who is our redeemer and our creator. He is having preeminence over everything. And I told the church, the problem, the heresy in church today is this. Listen to me. Is that people just want just enough of God to feel good, but yet not enough to go forward. Kind of like going up to that meat market there at the HEB and saying, I just want a half a pound of that turkey. That's all I want. People come to church and they say, I just want a half a pound of God. I want just enough to feel good, but I don't want to be committed. I don't want to go forward in faith. And I want to tell you, I pray today that God would break us of that heresy and that we would repent of it and we'd say, we want everything God has for us. Everything God has for us, 2018. For some today, you're here, you haven't ever met Jesus. We're going to have some staff members stand up here in a moment. After church, after we go into invitation, and you just come up and take them by the hand and say, you know what? I've been listening to that pastor. I need Jesus. I need him in my life. I need him to forgive me of my sins. I need him to give me a brand new start. Oh, what a great way to start the new year, by inviting Jesus in your life. I invite you to come. Others, maybe this is the church home God's led you to. You've been coming. And you've been coming, or maybe this is your first time to come, but God says, this is where you need to be. I invite you to come and join the church today. But I really believe the bulk of the invitation is every one of us we're standing at the crossroads, and we're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to go forward with God, or am I going to go back and stay where I was in 2017? That's the question. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word today.